Grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to episode 129 of the Dudes and Beer podcast. I am Chris Jordan, your host. With me, as always, is Julie Connolly.
Hello.
As well as the stalwart Stephen Bishop.
Yeah.
Here for 2 years now, putting up with my craziness.
Yeah.
And just all kinds of conversations.
It's a full-time job in itself.
It is. It is, quite literally. You could ask my wife. I am more than a handful mentally. I am all over the place. And we've talked about a lot of things recently that are very politically charged. Gun control, things like that. And as the elections are coming up, Julie thought it would be a great idea for us to get somebody involved, not only with local politics, but with state politics as well. And I thought it was a fantastic idea. I fully support it. I am all about open communication when it comes to politics. That's what this show is about.
Yeah, open-minded, man.
The whole concept of this show is that our great country was founded by a bunch of people that were not afraid to talk about politics and economics and things like that.
Can't be afraid.
Over a pint of ale. And disagree and still be at the same bar the next day saying hi and having a pint of ale.
How you doing?
Still remaining neighbors, still remaining friends. So tonight, we are more than happy to welcome Lorraine Garcia, the current president of the Capital Area Democratic Women here in Austin, Texas. How are you doing this evening, Lorraine?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for asking. This is great. I'm excited.
Fantastic.
Well, excited to have you.
We are more than happy to have you. We love having people on to talk about political things, talk about the political process especially. It's one that I think that so many people have lost a true connection with in our country. I think it's become something that is almost distant and entertainment now.
And
if anything, like our last election presidentially proved that. It was nothing but pomp and circumstance.
It's Kardashians and
media
and politics.
And, you know, and the fact is, like we've said so many times on this show, national elections matter. But what matters more than anything is your state and local elections. Like, the local courts are where precedents are set, which then move on to state courts and to Supreme Courts and so on. And it's the same way with local politics. You know, it's the local politics that set the tone for things, and then they see if it works and it moves on to larger things. So give us a little bit of your history. How is it that you came to a life in politics yourself? What was it that made you decide that hard road of society?
I have always been super interested in politics and particularly history. Growing up, I always had my nose in a book and was always very interested in what was going on domestically, federally. And then I went to high school in a small town outside of Amarillo, Texas, which was really, really conservative. And wanting to break out of that community and see what else was out there, I went to the University of Colorado at Boulder, which was culture shock, full-blown progressive liberalism.
Yeah, that's like 180 from Amarillo.
Yeah, you know, it was actually a hard adjustment. I thought that that's what I wanted. And then I got there, and it was so shocking how openly liberal that community was.
Sure.
But I think the thing that really particularly helped me understand how important Texas is, I interned in San Antonio with then Mayor Julian Castro, now Secretary and Professor Castro, and I fell in love with a part of Texas that I had never experienced before. San Antonio really, really opened my eyes to like the beauty of diversity and the beauty of local politics, and it really was true love. And so right after that, I finished college, and then I hopped on to Wendy Davis's governor race organizing in South Dallas.
Wendy Davis.
I've been in the business ever since.
fantastic. And, you know, that's the story that I know for most people involved in politics. I know a few people that have that are on city councils across the country, stuff like that, that I went to school with, that I've met through life. And it really is one of those, much like teaching, where you end up being moved at some point to do something greater than yourself for your local community, and to move things along in a different way. And even my wife had a friend in Louisiana who in New Orleans saw things going on in her community and everything, and literally decided to run for office this year. She was like, if nobody's going to do anything, if nobody's going to, like, I'll do something. You know, and sometimes that's what it takes, you know, is literally that little bit of gumption within yourself to say, I can make a difference. And not many people realize.
Do a Huey
that.
Long thing,
I don't
huh?
think. Well, not really Huey Long. Let's don't go Huey Long. He was pretty corrupt with the state of Louisiana, bro. Let's not talk about all the school books that were supposed to be on an airplane, all right? There was some kind of paper on an airplane, but it definitely wasn't school books. And that's one thing that most people attribute to politics, though. And it's an unfortunate thing, is that there is this skin over politics that we see, of course, exaggerated by the media, like we talk about all the time on this show.
Yeah.
The corruption is so negative and so there that, like, that's all that they focus on. They don't focus on people doing good things. They don't focus on good bills that are passed. They don't focus on good legislation that is being put forth. It's nothing but the controversial legislation that seems to make the headlines.
The headliner.
You know? And unfortunately, that tends to turn a lot of people off to politics because they think that's all that's on the ballot.
True.
You know? And I think that's a huge, huge misstep. And as someone who was in media for quite a while, I think a huge irresponsibility on their part, because people need to be aware of what the local platforms are, what the local laws being passed are. Like we have an election coming up next month, in 1 month, and I challenge people. Like, I can't even say, though. Granted, I've lived in my little spot for like
Wait,
1 year.
What election is it?
It's just a small one this year. Actually, you could probably tell us what's on.
So on the ballot, is the school bond, which, in my opinion, is a great thing that's going to help the Austin community. But we got to pass it, and we have to get people out to vote. And today was the last day to register to vote for next month's election. And then we also have a county bond that's aiming to help restore parks and fix roads. So. With the school bond, it's not looking to raise any property taxes, but the county bond will.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I know there was some, I don't know that it's on this one. I think it already went through all this stuff with the MOPAC Expressway and the lane changes over there. All kinds of things have been proposed. I know there was at one point talk about like a trolley system coming from South Austin into downtown.
Trolley?
You know, well, it wasn't necessarily a trolley so much as it was a gondola system.
Gondola system. I remember people talked about that.
As long as it takes me to make believe world, I'll be fine.
Well, and I'm just wondering how high that gondola is going to go. You know, like I can understand the one in New York. It's going alongside a bridge.
There's a gondola in New York.
Well, yeah. If you go over, what is it? Is it the Queensboro Bridge up over there, up alongside? It's over on the way to Brooklyn.
Oh yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's in Spider-Man all the time. He's always rescuing people.
Oh, that one.
Well, I mean, in the comics.
Oh yeah. No,
yeah.
I got nothing.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm a dork.
he threw us off.
But even that, like, people don't realize that stuff like that is going on in the halls of City Hall. For years, when I lived in Maine, I actually ran the AV for City Hall. and ran all the public meetings and stuff like that over broadcast.
I bet a lot of times there was like one person there.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Chris, there was always a lot of people there whenever it came time for school bond issues, whenever it came time for schools, stuff like that. But yeah, there were things that would happen as far as the city that, that nobody would show up for. To say their piece or to have their moment in front of city council or anything like that.
People win like 27-0 because people just don't show up to vote.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's pretty wild.
Damn.
Now, with your experience in elections and things like that, especially working with Wendy Davis, have you found the election process to be something enjoyable?
Personally, yes, but what we have to understand in Texas is that we have such a terrible voter ID laws which suppress the vote, and it's, you know, we don't teach civics in school anymore, and so kids are growing up, myself included, not knowing how to vote or not knowing where we are in the place of any government, local or domestic or federal, and that's a real problem.
Yeah.
So, you know, you talked about the media and that really having a negative connotation and spinning politics and policy in a negative light, but people are so far from removed from the process, which is not a common sense thing at all.
Well, and if you don't mind me asking, Lorraine, because you were saying you as well, when did you graduate high school? In Texas?
I graduated in 2009.
Okay.
And so the first election I voted in was President Barack Obama.
And good for you for voting in your first election. I myself am a little bit older, and I graduated high school in Houston in 1993. And at that point, Texas, even at that point, was one of the only states in the nation where you were required. If you did not pass government your first semester your senior year, and if you didn't pass economics your second semester senior year, you did not graduate in the state of Texas.
Hmm. Yeah. No, I remember that. I had to do that.
That was law. And I remember we had invitations out, and I almost didn't graduate. I almost didn't make it out of economics because I didn't I didn't do my paper or something. But go ahead, Lorraine.
How focused on civics were those government and economics classes? I too had to take government and economics, there wasn't a huge emphasis for me.
Yeah, well, and that's just it. Like I said, it wasn't a no pick. It was like a no pass, no play. Like if you didn't pass government, you didn't graduate.
A big part of it, like
Literally, because just about every year there's some kind of election going on. So yeah, you had to go out. You had to pick a candidate.
Oh, that's awesome.
You had to, like, get involved with the local election. At least that's how it was at my high school.
I think I remember that, too, yeah.
But, like, yeah.
Really cool. One of the saddest and stories that has ever stayed with me is the statistic that basically says women who are undereducated are intimidated by voting booths.
Yeah.
So if they do dare to stand in line and go up to and go and vote, they feel embarrassed and it keeps them from voting ever again. And it's a significant amount of uneducated, particularly women, because I think that there's a stigma against them and having opinions in politics and that they can be loud and talk about in any kind of forum. And so, yeah, I think that kind of thing, that kind of, wow, it's this is so far removed from what people know how to do. It's embarrassing for people. That really, to me, is an astounding thing.
Yeah. Well, and then add to the fact electronic voting. You think it's easier, but whenever you talk about, like, in any demographic study will tell you the people that go out and vote in droves, like they are the ones that swing elections. They are 55 and up.
And they're not really sure about how and, to use those electronics.
Yeah, they, like, you're lucky they know how to use their cell phone right. and like, cut off the sounds on their cell phone, like mine that's
like
coming, through,
that's
right
coming
now.
Through right now.
And, you know, it's one of those, like, whenever you're talking about going from a voting system that they have been accustomed to, that's just us, sorry, a voting system that they've been accustomed to for 50 years almost. And then going, it's intimidating to go in front of that electronic machine, in front of that computer.
And the crowds,
that you don't know
there's
how
a lot of
use.
People there, and you know, I don't want to ask for help. I like, can see that that would be.
I mean, good God, I remember my grandmother to the day she died barely used into, like, she'd use her card at a gas station or something, but she didn't go to an ATM. She went into her bank and she got cash.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's what the bank's for.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah, like, he will, she would go in, fill out a form, and talk to the teller, and get cash, or go to the drive-in and give them a form and get cash. Mm-hmm. She didn't go to the ATM to do it.
And even beyond that, whenever you're talking about this tradition of, like, ballot voting or what have you, now in Texas, they designate one voting poll for people in a certain area, and if you've voted your entire life at the elementary school down the street and suddenly you're assigned somewhere else, that's confusing, that's embarrassing, and that's how we're missing a lot of votes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then you have people in and of itself that are just so disgruntled with the system that they've literally decided to remove consent from the system.
Right, they're just giving up now.
They're just like, you know, what's the point? My vote makes no difference anyway. Which, I mean, you know,
I can understand.
With the local ones, it matters a lot.
With the local, that's just it.
I mean, you should always vote anyway, but
that's
the local
just
ones
it.
Especially make
and there's a case for, I've made the case before for getting rid of the Electoral College in the presidential election.
Yeah, we know.
However, whenever you look at the fact of, without that, you're looking at like six or seven states basically making the decision for the country.
Yes.
That's a little bit like, you know.
Hey, it's a little gross.
Yeah. Like, the system in and of itself on both sides is just kind of like icky. But when you're talking state and local, that is where you are really talking like nose to the grindstone. People are out there doing stuff. People are hitting the streets. Finding out things going on in their local communities and trying to fix them, typically. You know.
I know your organization, I was looking into it, specifically is for women who are interested in being more involved in politics. Is that right? Helping them get the resources?
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the Capital Area Democratic Women.
So we are a PAC in the Capital Area, strategically, not just Austin or Travis County, but we really try to pull in progressive communities, men and women, all over the capital area. You know, there might not be a strong Democratic presence in, say, Manor, but you still have somewhere to come if you want to get your fill. And basically, we work to ensure that progressive women's values are represented across the halls of power, and we do that by being as active as we can. I will say, we don't get involved, we don't endorse in primaries, so with this being Austin, you have to find more creative ways to get involved and do the things that you want to do. So right now we're fundraising for three fellowships so that we can put students in good offices, so that we can build a pipeline of good staff and potentially, you know, people who want to run for office themselves. So,
yeah, absolutely. And it
sounds like a good idea.
Well, that's really the idea, is to get people, like she was saying, just out of high school, early college. When you grab somebody's attention, like when Lorraine turned her eye to politics, when you start into something that deep, that young, it's hard to turn away from it.
Right.
For the rest of your life.
Right, you can stay passionate about it,
like,
and use that energy and use that excitement.
Even me, as a former teacher, former youth minister for years, doing stuff like that, that's half the reason I started the Talking Sound podcast, was so that I could teach other people things. I could introduce other people to people in the industry who could teach them things, stuff like that. It was still like a striving to teach people something. Even this show is striving to teach people to be able to talk about anything with an open mind. Yeah, let's sit back and talk about the real issues.
No, for sure, exactly.
And the day it gets boring, you probably have passed on. Either that, or you just plain stopped caring.
We're not boring at all.
Right. I mean, I think we all wish it were a little bit more boring these days, but. Yeah.
Well, and the problem is literally the fact that it was made sexy.
Yeah, it was sensationalized like this, and it's been getting worse and worse and worse.
Well, and I mean, even in terms of career, it was made sexy. You see, because at one point we used to, and we'll get into the federal politic here mainly, because at one point. Senators, congressmen, House representatives, stuff like that, were paid by the constituents of their state.
Paid by the constituents.
And that just makes utter sense, right?
I was going to say, that sounds about right.
We pay our state representative who's in Congress.
We don't do that now.
It doesn't work that way now. They get paid out of a federal coffer. They also get a salary for life.
Yes.
It should be more like you do a good job, you get paid.
And there are also
nobody's getting paid this year.
There are also no term limits.
Yeah, nobody's getting paid this year.
Like, and then once you add lobbyists to that mix.
Oh, God.
You know, like I was telling Steve today at lunch, I was like, hey, man, you know, really, we ought to make it like NASCAR. And any time that one of them steps up, like they need to have like their sponsor's patch on their jackets.
Yeah.
You know? Like, okay, everybody, thank you very much. This press conference brought to you by Campbell's Soup. Take care, you know.
Dude, like, their jackets would be like, full of freaking logos.
You got to tell us who you're taking your lobby money from at the same time that you're giving us your message, is what I believe. But at one point, we did have this beautiful system where we were actually in charge of our federal representatives who passed laws. And we could censure them and be like, sorry.
Yeah, you're not doing a good job.
It seems like you're not doing a good job, so how about we not pay you?
Hey, buddy, you kind of suck.
Yeah.
But I mean, even now, we do have the option every 2 years, every 4 years, whatever the election cycle is, to fire these folks.
And we do.
So we really need to exercise that right to make our opinions heard. It always comes down to voting.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the sad fact is, and that was something that I wanted to get into with you, especially with your experience with elections, is that unfortunately the numbers typically lie with the incumbent. And it's sad, but it falls that way even in judgeships. It falls that way with sheriffs, mayors.
It's like the all devil, kinds you know. Of stuff.
Yeah, it is. The it is, devil. And it's an odd mentality to me, but it's one that's true. Like my family comes from a very small town in Louisiana, and it's one of those like everybody will complain about the mayor. But they'll elect him next year.
What the hell?
even my aunt. Even my aunt.
What kind of shit is that?
You know, was mayor at one point. And there were a lot of people that suddenly were like, oh, I don't know about Wilda. It's like, what the? Like, you've known Wilda for years. What are you talking about?
I don't know.
And actually, Amy, the Yes But Why podcast just rang in on our chat over here. Is there anything like lobbying in local politics? Does this organization work against that?
You know, I think that lobbying, like politics, gets an unfairly negative reputation. There are good folks who lobby for good causes.
Yes, there are.
Teachers lobby.
Yes.
There's an education lobby. There's a gun reform lobby. And you know, in my opinion, yes, of course, like the biggest lobby in America's NRA, and that's a problem because they have a lot of power, but there are also a lot of good lobbyists doing good work.
There are.
Capital area Democratic women do not get involved in lobbying of that sort. We're not lobbyists at all, but we are friends with a lot of the representatives in this area. Representative Dina Hinojosa, Representative Donna Howard, and Representative Celia Israel are co-chairing our fundraiser at the end of this month. And so we do like to think of these representatives and these judicial candidates and these council members as members of our community and members that we can talk to. But I think that the word lobby is a very strong word, and it's not what we do.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely not something that you as a political action committee take part in or even, you know, ascribe yourself to. But the question of, is there lobbying in local politics? The answer to that is yes, there is.
Yes.
I happen to know somebody that the city will remain unnamed, the person will remain unnamed, of a very good friend of mine who is pretty high up in a big city here in Texas. And he was like, it's interesting sometimes to see people come in and they're wide-eyed and they've got this awesome concept. And then about 3 years in, like, this, it just like this system grabs a hold, and it can be hard to fight against the toe. It can be hard to not get caught up.
Well, it has to be demoralizing sometimes in Texas, yeah, especially in a progressive group.
Exactly. Exactly. But I mean, this, from what he's saying, it's everybody across the board. Doesn't matter Democrat, Republican. Once you get into that office, like, there are people that will start giving you trips, all kinds of stuff, wow, to try and vie for your time, try and vie for your attention.
You get home and there's like a new Bentley in your driveway. You don't know where that came
like
from.
That's a bit
much of one.
Lorraine, do you have a Bentley?
Yeah.
I have a 2013 Nissan Juke.
Oh, sweet.
Nice.
Sweet.
I'll get you around.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
you know, it's close to a Bentley. But
yeah.
Gets me down to that
it's
little Caesars
nice
where I need to go.
Feels like one on the inside when you're driving.
There you go.
There you go. So you're
absolutely 100% true. If you look at any candidate on either side, if you pull up their ethics report, which they are all public, if you want to know who gives your candidate or elected money, you can look it up. It's mm-hmm. public information. And you're right. You will find lobby groups on
yeah.
those reports. And mostly that it will be people who are already elected, because people give money to people who are in power and are going to win.
That's right. So, that's where they get their war chest. That's where they get their money for elections. You know, I mean, heck, it's a fairly well-known fact that in national elections, the Koch brothers just give money to, like, both sides.
Yeah,
NRA has
yeah.
like, a little bit
here,
too.
There you
but,
go.
But definitely, it's more one sided.
So oh yeah, yeah, it's a little bit more one sided with
so,
the NRA.
So to me, I hear all this, and to me, I'm thinking this lobby thing sounds a whole lot like bribing.
Well, kind of.
It's really. I mean, these groups have interests that they are advocating for.
That's right.
And they run. You know, there's a spectrum. There's a
yeah.
craft beer lobby group.
There's
lobby groups for
yeah.
every issue, and some of them are good issues. And if they didn't have representation, if they didn't have advocates, you know,
and the craft beer
like
lobby group
prevention has lobbyists. That's a good
that's
issue
right.
to advocate
that's
for.
That's right.
But I'm yeah, you know, on the other side of the coin, and right, like, teen pregnancy prevention doesn't have a ton of money, so legislators who align themselves with that lobby group aren't getting anything except for preventing teen pregnancy,
which is
great. That's
totally
cool.
all
yeah.
you need. You don't
yeah.
need money for that. You should just
no.
do that because
yeah.
it's the right thing to do.
And hey, I will say
yeah.
right now, I am a fourth degree Knight of Columbus. And we lobbied at one point back in the late 50s to have one nation under God put into the Pledge of Allegiance.
Hmm.
We were the ones who had.
Wait, you did that?
It was the,
you
it,
did that.
It was the, well, not me, but
Chris
the Knights of
that.
Columbus.
Good job, Chris.
The Knights of Columbus were the
You're
ones who lobbied
Pittsburgh
Congress to have under God put into the put into the Pledge of Allegiance because, of course, our money says it, all kinds of stuff. But
how much money do you guys give?
I have no idea. I wasn't alive.
Then you get a pass.
But like she said, lobby is a nasty name because we hear lobby and the first thing we think is NRA, guns. The first thing we think is oil companies. The first thing we think is the people who are trying to put forth stuff like the North Dakota pipeline. Things like that. But there are lobby groups like my mother was a Texas teacher. Good God, right now there's a huge lobby. Please, everybody, since we're talking about lobbies, go support the lobby for Texas teachers. Like, these people literally do not even get their Social Security.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had to pay it, but they don't get it.
Damn. That's a one-way street.
And these are the people that, like, took care to, like, help rear and teach
students
future
and
generations. Yeah. And it's one of those, like,
teach the children
like,
well, not that good stuff.
Well, yeah, you know, and it's one of those, like, you'd think that you'd take care of teachers. You'd think you'd take care of policemen. You'd think you'd take care of firemen. We really don't.
No, the firemen just got pretty...
Yeah, yeah. They got pretty raked over the coals with some stuff. And even Dean Larinaga, one of our regular listeners, just chimed in on the chat. I hear lobby and think bowling. I don't know what you're talking about.
I hear lobby.
Way to bring it down. Way to calm it down. But, you know, it is a dirty word in politics because, yeah, it's one of those – it's a sensationalized term. It's one that's the only thing that we know about is we – throughout the whole 90s, good God, it was the tobacco lobby and the lawsuits and everything else.
I remember that.
You know, and even at the same time, there was good God, what was Tipper Gore's lobby?
I'm trying to remember. I know the censorship of the music.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, well, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but I can't remember the
back.
I can't remember
no,
the name of
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's an acronym.
But I can't remember the name of the lobby, but they're the ones who got
the
parental
explicit,
advisory
yeah.
explicit
yeah.
lyrics put
yeah.
on music.
Yeah.
And I mean, we had people like John Denver in Congress, like testifying to the importance of the arts and the message, and if that's what it takes to get the message across, you know.
Frank Zappa.
Yeah, you have marijuana lobbyists.
Absolutely.
I mean, the issues don't end. The lobby work does not end.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and on the side of local politics, talking about things like that, it's interesting that here lately there is actually a dispensary that has opened up in Austin.
Really? I didn't know about this.
It's
I didn't either.
It's under a lot of wraps, but if you look into it, it is there. There's actually like Texas law where you've got to have some pretty extreme medical conditions, but you can get medical marijuana. But you have to have like extreme medical conditions. But if I'm not mistaken, one of the first test beds is this one dispensary in Austin. And Houston has recently, in the last year or 6 months, actually decriminalized certain amounts of marijuana. It was shortly after Art Acevedo went to Houston. What are some of the things coming up on ballot regarding stuff like that, Lorraine?
Oh, I don't think that. Thing like that on the ballot. I mean, I'm not necessarily an expert, but there's not in my experience, there's not a strong push for, or there's not a seriously strong push for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Legislators are far more concerned with right now, like, you know, immigration, voting, gerrymandering. It's just on the list of priorities. I think getting a marijuana bill put together it's not up there.
Yeah.
In my experience, I
the
could be wrong.
Gerrymandering is new. Sorry to cut you off, but they just, that's kind of, is that going to be on the next ballot? I know people were just talking about that was finally, like, declared federally wrong, and they're finally, like, looking into doing something about it, because that's been a huge issue here.
In many
states.
We're
supposed to get some redistricting done in this state. And I think sooner than later, and I think that we're all going to be a lot better for it.
Yeah,
the gerrymandering
for sure.
in the state is
Well, and for our audience that doesn't understand, terrible. I'm sorry, for our audience that doesn't understand, Lorraine, explain what gerrymandering is.
Gerrymandering is cutting districts in the state to unproportionally represent one group versus another group. For instance, some places in this state are gerrymandered so much so that, like, only a Hispanic block is there, or only a white block is there, a white voting block is there. And it's just so that you can manipulate the numbers in a way that makes sense for a party in power. So, like, sure, the Republican Party was in power whenever we redistricted, and they got to set us up in a way that favored Republican electeds.
Sure. Yeah, and that's the thing, is that even if there was a I can't recall the last time there was a Democrat in charge of Texas.
Lady Bird.
Yeah.
Evan. Yeah.
It was a while back, but you know.
Beto.
Yeah, like to be able to do that, to be able to go through, and I know it's something that happens in Houston regularly where district lines are redrawn.
Yeah,
all
it
kinds
made
of
no
stuff.
Sense.
It may, I mean, it happens on the regs. And it is one of those that, thank God it came to federal attention. I'm not going to say I'm Republican, because I'm not. I'm also definitely not Democrat, but I would probably say I'm closer to libertarian. I really believe everybody should just be able to do what they need to do and live their life.
I'm definitely a Democrat.
Yeah, I know. You got a donkey on your arm, woman. You got a donkey tattoo.
She's turning red.
But see, that's the thing, is that we can sit here and we can have this conversation, and it's perfectly fine. Because I perfectly agree with the fact that gerrymandering is wrong. Coming from the small town in Louisiana that my family comes from, like, hey, yeah, there is nothing to going out and renting yourself a little bus and going to the old folks' home and making sure some people make it to the polls.
Damn.
Nice.
Yeah.
We'll even give you some gumbo on the bus.
Yeah. Don't
bribe them. Just take them.
Yeah. What the hell?
It's a long ride from where they're coming from. Cool. Yeah. So, but the question is, that stuff does happen. Is that even right? Whenever you're talking about busing people to polling stations and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, I mean, giving people rides when they don't have transportation, I would say that is
Well, how
right.
about we make the public transportation system free for the day?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That
would be a much more honest version of
honest
that.
Version.
Because if somebody's coming and picking you up in a bus, they could be taking you to whichever polling station they want to be taking you to.
It'd be more so your
but
will.
But you can only vote at specific, I mean, in True. Some counties, not in all counties. I think in Travis County you can vote wherever you want.
You can, which is awesome.
I mean,
yeah.
You have
not
to
all counties are there.
So, and you also, I mean, look, voter fraud is not a real thing. And so I think doing the most to make sure that people get to vote, whether that's picking
sure.
them up, busing them, whatever. To me, that's a value. I
think so, too.
The more people who vote in whatever way we can get people to vote is really important.
Well,
yeah,
and
it's more fair. So,
yes,
more
public, free public transportation.
Yeah.
And also, you know, I think it's really neat when, like, churches organize buses on election day and pick up their mm-hmm. congregation. You know, that's a really cool
absolutely.
Service that they're paying.
And that's what I'm saying. If a community wants to get together and do that, absolutely. If it's coming directly from a candidate,
yeah, that's a different.
I mean,
but they're not holding their hand and making them vote a certain way. They're just driving them. I could drive you to the poll, even though I know that 90% of the time we're not going to vote for the same person. I would still give you a ride.
True.
I would probably shame you a little bit.
But unfortunately, like that's not really the way that like the psyche works, though. There's this exchange for favor concept.
No, I think for a ride, they're probably not asking, like, are you going to vote for me? Hop in my car. They're like, hey, do you have a ride to the election? Hop in my car.
If you vote for her stuff, She won't ask you for gas money, but you know.
Yeah, that's true. I'll throw a beer in for
Not
the ride home, but
just like helping
home.
Somebody move in Texas, you know.
Pizza and beer.
Beer and pizza, you're done.
I just give them money for a mover.
Yeah, and I'm all about getting everybody to polls. I am happy with the fact that some of the voter laws have been struck down and been declared unconstitutional, things like that. Absolutely. But coming from small towns where I know that happens, and I know it happens in a specific way, I don't see it any different on a big city aspect. That's just me. Like, I don't see a difference between the microscopic and macroscopic at that point. Like, I see it almost more readily to happen in somewhere where it would be lost amongst the shuffle than in somewhere that has one red light.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that makes sense.
I like the idea of free public transportation for election day, though. That's a great idea.
I think it's a fantastic idea. I would almost say let's form a political action committee to make that happen.
A lobby.
Do we need to start a lobby?
I like it.
Buses are free on election time.
Free transportation.
all joking aside, everybody, lobbying in its purest form, much like the democratic process in its purest form, is a beautiful thing, is an amazing thing, because the idea is to bring awareness to causes that they may not know about from there, because they're busy in Washington, you know. Granted, it's not these guys' only job in Washington, believe it or not.
Right.
Like, most of these guys are just like they were in the days of our founding fathers. They're lawyers, they're doctors, things like that. They have active practices, they have active firms, they have, and they've run for office, and they're getting paid for that as well.
But they don't know every aspect of everything that's happening. Like, to be able to hear a different point of view, have somebody come in and explain why something's important, if it's not on your radar, that can only be a good thing.
Yeah, no, and that's just it. That's why I'm a big fan of the one thing I love in Texas is that we have signs that literally point you to the local official.
Yeah.
Like the capital?
No. Like, if you go to Katy, whenever you exit in Katy, it says, like, this way to your representative. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, like.
Never noticed.
Yeah.
That's really neat.
Well, like, once you're in downtown Katy, like, just before you get to the building where the local representative's office is, like, there is a green sign, which means that came from the state.
Huh.
And it says, like,
yeah, and they do it for congressional and senatorial candidates too.
Absolutely.
I can think of, in San Antonio, they have a sign for Congressman Castro, which is really neat.
Mm-hmm.
So you can always find them. They might not be there, but you can find them.
Yeah, you can at least make it to their office.
Leave them send them facts.
Well, and that's just it. You know, there has been such a movement lately. And I love I love grassroots politics. I remember helping a friend of mine run for school district in Maine. I remember helping a friend run for city council in Maine, things like that. And it's one of those when you're involved on that local level, there's a different aspect that goes on. There's a true intimacy to the process. Now, have you ever looked at possibly being involved on a national level or anything like that, Lorraine? Have you looked at going beyond your local and regional experience?
That's not something that's interesting to me, honestly.
Awesome.
The closer I have discovered, having now worked for state candidates and judicial candidates, and even my time in Mayor Castro's office, it's far more, you're closer to the people and you're closer to the work that matters the most to your community, the more local you are.
Sure.
Yep.
You know, and
that's
where my heart is. I too have just a negative view of DC and everything that goes on over there. I it seems like a, like, you know, it's a circus everywhere.
It's a dog and pony show.
And you can't get lost in the sauce anywhere, but I will say DC seems like a much more, I think it would be hard to see the returns on the work that you do there versus like the returns that you can see here. You know, it's a privilege to work alongside people and then see them at a club meeting. You know, it's fun and it matters.
Mm-hmm. It's probably a lot more energizing. Yeah.
Now, what are some of the things, especially coming up with the election next month, that are on your plate? What are some of the things that the Capital Area Democratic Women are actively involved in? I know you mentioned earlier, you dropped that y'all had a fundraiser coming up. What's that all about? What are some of the things that y'all are looking to support in this upcoming election?
So, as I said, there's a school and a county bond on next month's election. And I, you know, we won't get too involved monetarily in those elections, but we did have, we have monthly meetings and they happen over lunch and we program them and candidates come and give their announcements on what they're running for, why they're running, and it's not just one candidate. We have multiple candidates for like one race come and stop by and share their platform with us, and that's a lot of fun. In regard to the elections next month, we had Trustee Cindy Anderson come last month and talk to us about the school bond, and that's how we really try to stay involved. We try to be involved on a level that's educational and that brings experts directly to our membership, so that we know what we're voting for and how to vote. And we don't vote as a block, you know, we all have different opinions, and that's what makes the club also a lot of fun and enlightening. And so that's how we'll be involved in next election. In regard to my fundraiser later this month, as I said earlier, Representative Gina Hinojosa, Representative Donna Howard, and Representative Sally Israel are helping us out a lot by being our honorary co-chairs. This event is called the Celebration of Champions, and we honor three local champions of progressive values. And this year we are honoring Fatima Mann, Brittany Yelverton, and Samantha Robles. And it's really the biggest fundraiser that we do all year. We don't make money whenever we program our lunches. And we're raising this money so we can help staff some good causes and help expose some kids out there who might not necessarily have the means to intern or work somewhere for, you know, an intern's wage. So that's what we're really trying to do.
Well, and that's just it, because not everybody understands that is what it takes. I mean, I myself had to intern in the industry that I work in. There was the wage that people got paid to do what I do now, and then there was like, hey, welcome to the industry.
Right, the practice.
And here's a whole lot of work for your intern's wage. And they don't understand the fact that groundwork, not only as an individual and that choice to be part of the groundwork and foundation of the democratic process that is the Republic of America, because I think that's where a lot of people get lost to begin with, is they think that we live in a democracy, and we live in a democratic republic. That means that, like, you know, technically we're the ones in charge in a republic, not in a democracy. In a democracy, like, whoever's voting is in charge, which means that, like, they would be in charge. So, yeah, in a representative republic, we have chosen people to vote on our behalf. And if you don't vote our way, sounds like you need to go, dude. that's how it's supposed to work in the beauty. But we have, along the way, gotten to this point of understanding it as just a democracy and just as this form of voting. And with that comes the unaccountability. With that comes the loss of the personal process and the loss of the personal investment by the individual, I think. Because with it just being a democracy, we expect the fact that that dude's just going to vote right.
Yeah.
When it's a representative republic, like, we have to hold ourselves accountable for holding them accountable. You know what I mean? And I think we as a society have kind of lost some of that.
Democracy.
Yeah. No, that's just a, like, it ain't easy. Like, you know, Chester Cheetah had it right. It ain't easy being cheesy. and to do that job, to be the person that understands that, like, you are, like, whether you're the grease to the wheel, whether you're the cog to the wheel, whether you're the axle to the wheel, or a plank on the wagon, you are part of the conveyance
moving it forward.
That is going forward. And without you, there is a part of the infrastructure that just ain't right. And the wagon won't work right. And that's how we're all supposed to feel about our government. That's how we're supposed to feel about our federal government, local government, state government. Doesn't matter. We're supposed to feel like we are an integral part of the process.
Well, I think things like this fundraiser and choosing those three women, yeah, that absolutely brings that together. And it makes the community come together to back these three young women.
Yeah.
It's a cool thing that you're doing.
And that's what I love about the mission of the Capital Area Democratic Women is to get people involved, to get people to understand once again the fact that they have a local voice, they have a local means by which to get people into office, to make a difference.
Follow their journeys.
Exactly. Now, what are some of the things that y'all are hoping for out of the upcoming election?
One thing that is a huge, huge thing across all clubs and PACs and organizations and in the Capital Area is voter turnout. We are extremely fortunate in that we are an extremely blue county, and the way we vote can really help things out in less blue counties. And so we try to stack our numbers as much as possible and get people to vote as much as possible so that whenever we're looking at, like, state races, such as, like, the governor or gubernatorial races, often has built some kind of cushion for other places that might not be as blue.
Mm-hmm.
And so with next year being such a big election year, it's important that we turn out as many voters as we can in this area so that we can help Texas reflect our values a little bit better.
Right, and kind of put your money where your mouth is. You can bring out the numbers now so that you're taken more seriously later.
Now, especially being of young political blood as you are, Lorraine, is it a situation that y'all have begun to actively try to go out and recruit at high schools? Have y'all tried to get into high schools to start a local Democratic club or start anything like that to try and get to try and court the 17-year-olds to try and get them? Oh no!
Did we lose you?
We just dropped her. I don't know what happened there. We'll find out real quick. Watch this. Here we go.
Come back.
Creeping
around. Hopefully it'll work. And she'll
come back to us, Lorraine. Please come back.
I wonder if her battery died.
It could be.
I lost you guys for a minute.
That's okay. Are we there? Hello? Uh-oh.
Do you want to text her and tell her to call us?
Yeah, text her. Tell her to call us. Because that's apparently how it worked. I don't know what's going on. Like I said, somebody watered the Mogwai in my studio. Look at that.
Dish calling.
Great minds. Great minds think alike. You. We were just texting to be like, hey, why don't we have her call us back?
Can Hello? You hear us?
Are you there?
Are you there?
Lorraine? Please be there. Hello?
Oh, no.
Lorraine?
Hello?
Oh, my God. What's going on?
I don't know. That we is made just it for crazy. So long.
Yeah. That's nuts. Oh, no.
At least we got the fundraiser thing we talked did, about.
Yeah, but no, that's nuts. I don't know why this isn't working. This is the craziest thing in the world. So, yeah, we've run across a little bit of a technical glitch live in the show, which is a rarity.
The hell?
Are you there, Lorraine?
Back.
Yeah. Oh, there you're back. I was just Hot about dog. To text you.
I hear. Huh.
Thank you, sweet baby Jeebus.
Oh, baby Jeebus.
So back to the high school idea, which yeah. I think is a good one.
It's a great idea. Yeah, I should definitely look into that. One thing about CADW that I think is really important is that we're volunteer run. And so yes. all of us on the board have full-time jobs and do this as really a labor of love. And so things like organizing other clubs in high schools would be a tremendously time-consuming
right.
and it rewarding is. Thing.
It is.
And so the more people we have in our membership who can help us do those kinds of things,
yeah.
the more empowered we are to do those kinds of things. So if anyone's listening and wants to help out with that effort, they should certainly reach out.
Absolutely, and I would highly recommend that you look among the ranks existing in the Capital Area Democratic Women and see if any of them are possibly teachers that could start an after-school club, anything like that. Because I mean, quite honestly, as someone who
sounds like a good idea,
as someone who grew up in the 80s, 90s with a single mother who worked two jobs and went to college, things like that. Literally provide. It wasn't even to like whiz bang life. It was just to provide. You know, the issues in front of women in our country right now, regarding the wage disparity, regarding all kinds of women rights issues, are absolutely insane to me.
Yep.
The fact that mm-hmm. even the regular social issues that are going on in our country just seem to escape my mentality. And I guess it's just the way I was brought up. And like I said, just seeing the plight of my mother, I don't understand why there is a wage gap. I don't grasp that concept. I work with so many women that are as good or better than me in my industry that get paid the same amount. And to know that there are women out there doing jobs like my mom did for like almost half the wage of men is just mind-numbing, not even mind-blowing. So the issues facing women on ballots, not just nationally, but in state legislations, in local legislations across this country, are numerous and various.
Absolutely. And I think it's, you know, really important.
Ugh.
What?
Why?
I don't know.
What is happening?
I got full bars. This is weird. This is creepy.
Man, it's like I don't know what to say.
I don't know if she's dropping or... I mean,
we're going to try one more time,
one
folks.
One more.
Do-do-do.
Please.
Are you there?
Hello?
Lorraine? Hello, can you hear us?
No. Good God.
Are you serious? Is that what happened?
This is the weirdest thing in the world, man.
This ain't never happened before.
This has never happened.
What?
Oh my God.
That's all we can get because that's.
We are.
Yeah. Are you back?
Well, no.
Yeah, she's back.
Yeah,
she's back. I don't know what's going on.
No, we were making.
That's really weird.
We were making fun because my ringtone is actually a copywritten song, and I had to answer it very quickly.
Yeah. Oh no!
Otherwise, iHeartRadio may be very angry and want some money.
So, in case we lose you again, where can people get involved? Where can they find you? Where can they donate? Find out the fundraiser, everything. Give us all your stuff.
All of our information is on cadw.org. Email me personally at lorraine.margar@gmail.com, or you can email me at cadw@cadw.org. And you'll find everything you need there.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being such a great guest, for being so open and honest, not just about your personal beliefs, but about what the Capital Area Democratic Women are all about. The mission, I think it is hugely important. Like I said, regardless of lines, it's about being involved, people. When you find something that you're passionate about, good God, get out there, do it.
There is really no lines.
That's what it's
except
all
in
about.
Your mind.
So on that note, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, thank you so much to Lorraine Garcia for being our guest
this evening.
Thank you for putting up with all the mogwai that have been, like, multiplying in my studio
tonight. Chris fed them after midnight last night.
I blame you for coming on show with me today.
Never been the same since after he fed them.
I blame you for being on a professional show without an issue
today.
What's
he going to do tonight?
So, on that note, everybody, once again, please, please, please go by and check out Capital Area Democratic Women. That is
CADW.org.
Y'all need to go back to school.
Cool. And until next time, everybody, remember, if you can't be good,
be good at it.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams and chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for both Android and iDevices, available on the Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.